giving his heart to the broken and sharing his home with the orphan. He is the joy, he is my joy, he is the hope of the nation.
Welcome to Dare to Rejoice with Daring Daughters. I'm Ann Dennegan, and this is number 8 in a series called Dare to Rejoice in Missions. And today we're talking about getting God's passion for the lost, having a heart and a passion for soul winning, for telling people about Jesus Christ and leading others to salvation in Jesus. You know, what sets the Great Commission apart from just other benevolent, you know, good organizations that are helping the poor and doing benevolent needs around the world is that as Christians, we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, and Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, that we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, which is that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, that Jesus came and offered a way that we can be forgiven, that we don't go to heaven just because we're good. People don't make it because they've done a lot of good things. It's not by how much good we do. It is by realizing we are not good enough and we need to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to just read a few Bible verses to begin with. I want to start off with 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That through salvation, the cross and the whole message of the gospel and the cross, it's just foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's salvation. To us, it's our bedrock foundation, the blood of Jesus Christ, that we need to realize that it is the power of God. A couple different quotes. One thing is a man named C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." You know, Jesus went to the cross, and if you realize how when Jesus was here on the earth, that he had, you know, he was man, but he was also fully God. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus was praying to the Father and saying, you know, "God, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." You know, do you think if there was another way that people could be saved other than through the blood of Jesus, then do you think that God would have allowed Jesus to go to the cross? He wouldn't. That Jesus went to the cross because there is no other way. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that he is the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, that even before God created this world, he knew that people would sin, would fall away from him. He knew that we would all fall short. And he already had a salvation plan in mind. And that was the plan of the cross. We are called to go and tell other people about Jesus. Some people think that I'm not really called to evangelism. It's not really my thing. But God has called all of us to have a compassion for those who are lost. And in this Daring Daughter lesson today, I just want to stir that up. My husband is a missionary evangelist, and for 25, 30 years, we've been going to other countries and sharing the gospel, going to a lot of places where people have never heard the gospel before. And just as we have met different people and as we have talked to different people, whether it's somebody, you know, all the way across the world in Africa, or whether it is a neighbor nearby, whether it's just somebody on a plane or somebody that I meet in the grocery store, God wants to stir in us a heart for people who are lost. There's a man named Keith Wright that has a mission quote that says, "Lost people matter to God, and so they must matter to us." Another man named Roland Allen said missionary zeal does not grow out of intellectual beliefs, nor out of theological arguments, but out of love. So, you know, even though I can, like, give you a bunch of theological reasons and I can, you know, give you a lot of intellectual beliefs about why it's very important that the lost are lost and that we need to go and tell people about Jesus, what is going to matter most of all is just realizing that we are called to love people. And when God's love is stirred up in our hearts, we will want for other people to know him. We will want for other people to know God's love. People need God. People need Jesus. People need to be saved. And ladies, I just want to encourage you to stir up your love for God and allow him to stir up his love in you for others. There was a missionary movement that was called the Moravians, and there was a man named Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, and he was the founder of the Moravians, and they were a really mighty mission movement, even started a prayer ministry. It was a round-the-clock prayer meeting that went on for 100 years. And this group, this missionary movement, sent missionaries all over the world. And something that this man, this Count Zinzendorf, something that he said, he says, I have been one passion. It is he. It is he alone. The world is my field, and the field is the world. And henceforth, that country shall be my home where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. Something my husband and I say is that missions is not just for missionaries. God's call is for all. That we are all called to be missionaries. We are all called to take the light and the love of Jesus Christ and to share it with the world. We are called to be a light in the darkness. We're not called to be a light that's hidden under a basket. We're not called to just keep our family and our kids so safe that they never are able to be a witness and a light to the world. God has called us. And I tell you, ladies, we need to stir up a passion for the lost. There was a poem, I don't know if perhaps it was a hymn, but it was a missions poem that was written by a guy named Herbert Tovey back in 1888. And this is a poem that I have read over and over again over the years because I have prayed, Lord, I want your passion for the lost. And as I've read this and then I've said it and I've prayed it, as I read this, I want you just to encourage you to allow God's passion to stir up your heart. You know, if you don't feel like you have much of a heart for missions or you don't really feel like you have much of a passion for people who don't know Jesus, I want to just encourage you to ask God to stir up his passion for the lost. This poem by Herbert Tovey says, give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour become a beginning, the story of pardon to tell. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. One of my favorite missionary heroes is a woman named Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India. A few little things about her. She lived back in the 1800s, and she had a heart for the lost, and she also had a heart for girls and children who were trapped in sex trafficking. At that time, it was Hindu temple prostitution, but where little girls were sold into slavery and used in the Hindu temples, and she rescued hundreds of girls. She lived in 1867 to 1951. For 55 years, sacrificially served and ministered in India without even a furlough. During this time, she got other Christians to join with her, and together she established a mission that was called the Dohnavur Fellowship. She wrote different mission books and writings, and the impact of Amy Carmichael's life continues even to this day. Just as you read different things that Amy Carmichael wrote, it just stirred up. It will stir up in you a heart and a passion for the lost. Something that Amy Carmichael said, she said, "Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire." I just want to ask you, do you have that kind of passion for the lost? What I want to do right now is I want to read a vision that was written by Amy Carmichael, this missionary to India, and it is called "Thy Brother's Blood." My husband and I first heard this when we were in Bible college years ago. It was in a world missions class, and it brought tears to my eyes. It impacted me very, very deeply. Over the years, I've memorized this, I've quoted this, we've used this as we've shared about missions, and sometimes people think this is like way too strong, too condemning. You don't want to talk so much about the lost and about people that aren't going to heaven. But I want to just challenge all of us that we need to stir up a heart and a compassion for the lost. And I want to just allow these words by Amy Carmichael to just sink into our hearts. And I just even encourage you, once we get this recording on audio, to even listen to this several times and just allow this passion that Amy Carmichael had, this passion for the lost, to sink into your heart. "Thy Brother's Blood" by Amy Carmichael. The tom-tom thumped straight on all night, and the darkness shuddered round me like a living, feeling thing. I could not go to sleep, so I lay awake and looked, and I saw, as it seemed, this, that I stood on a grassy precipice, and at my feet, a crevice broke down into infinite space. I looked, but saw no bottom, only cloud shapes, black and furiously coiled, and great shadow-shrouded hollows and unfathomable depths. Back I drew, dizzy at the depth. Then I saw forms of people moving in single file along the grass. They were making for the edge. There was a woman with a baby in her arms and another little child holding on to her dress. She was on the very verge. Then I saw that she was blind. She lifted her foot for the next step. It trod air. She was over, and the children over with her. Oh, the cry as they went over. Then I saw more streams of people flowing from all quarters. All were blind, stone blind, and all made straight for the crevice's edge. There were shrieks as they suddenly knew in themselves that they were falling, and a tossing up of helpless arms, catching, clutching at empty air. But some went over quietly and fell without a sound. Then I wondered, with a wonder that was simply agony, why no one stopped them at the edge. I could not. I was glued to the ground, and I could not call. Though I strained and tried, only a whisper would come. Then I saw that along the edge there were guards set at intervals, but the intervals were too great. There were wide, unguarded gaps between, and over these gaps the people fell in their blindness, quite unwarned, and the green grass seemed blood red to me, and the gulf yawned like the mouth of hell. Then I saw, like a little picture of peace, a group of people under some trees with their backs turned toward the gulf. They were making daisy chains. Sometimes when a piercing shriek cut the quiet air and reached them, it disturbed them, and they thought it a rather vulgar noise. And if one of their number started up and wanted to go and do something to help, then all the others would pull that one down. Why should you get so excited about it? You must wait for a definite call to go. You haven't finished your daisy chain yet. It would be really selfish, they said, to leave us to finish the work alone. There was another group. It was made up of people whose great desire was to get more guards out. But they found that very few wanted to go, and sometimes there were no guards set for miles and miles at the edge. One girl stood alone in her place, waving the people back. But her mother and other relations called and reminded her that her furlough was due. She must not break the rules. And being tired and needing a change, she had to go and rest for a while. But no one was sent to guard her gap, and over the people fell like a waterfall of souls. Once a child caught at a tuft of grass that grew at the very brink of the gulf. It clung convulsively, and it called, but nobody seemed to hear. Then the roots of the grass gave way, and with a cry, the child went over. The two little hands still holding right to the torn-off bunch of grass. And the girl, who longed to be back in her gap, thought she heard the little one cry, and she sprang up and wanted to go, at which they reproved her, reminding her that no one is necessary anywhere. The gap would be well taken care of, they knew. And then they sang a hymn. Then, through the hymn, came another sound, like the pain of a million broken hearts wrung out in one full drop, one sob. And a horror of great darkness was upon me, for I knew what it was, the cry of the blood. Then thundered a voice, the voice of the Lord. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The tom-tom still beat heavily, and the darkness still shuddered and shivered about me. I heard the yells of the devil dancers and weird, wild shrieks of the devil possessed just outside the gate. What does it matter after all? It has gone on for years. It will go on for years. Why make such a fuss about it? God forgive us. God arouse us. Shame us out of our callousness. Shame us out of our sins. You know, as I read this vision by Amy Carmichael, I think about different people over the years that my husband and I have had an opportunity to just talk with and share with, people who've come from all sorts of different backgrounds, rich and poor, and all sorts of different religions, sometimes to big, huge groups of people, sometimes just like to one lady sitting next to me on an airplane. And I want you to know that people need Jesus Christ. There is just a longing inside of people to be able to be in communication with God. And even if people don't even realize it, the cross is the only way of salvation. I want to just mention a few quotes. In Acts 4, verse 12, listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Acts, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You know, some people think it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as he or she is sincere. Sometimes people think, a little religion probably does a person good. It's probably a healthy addition to a well-rounded life. But, you know, let's don't get confrontational or exclusive or dogmatic about, you know, saying that people have to receive Jesus Christ. I mean, God's good. But, you know, Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And like I mentioned at the beginning in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I just want to pray that God will give all of us more of God's heart and passion for the lost. Father, right now, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we love you. We love you. We thank you so much for your salvation for us. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we realize that there is no way that we can be good enough to stand before you. You are so holy and pure and good and amazing and huge. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want for just that fear of God. Lord, not like all scared and thinking that you're just like this awful God in the sky, but Lord, that you are awesome, that you are the God that created the universe. You look down from heaven and you are huge and you are holy and you are pure and you are good. Lord, we just pray. Lord, we thank you for your salvation that has come to us through the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray that you would give us your passion for people who don't know you. Lord, stir up in us your passion for the lost. Stir up in us your passion for souls. Lord, help it to just not be some, oh, God bless the missionaries and help lost people get saved. But Lord, I just pray that you would stir up in us for people who we know, people who we come in contact with face to face, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a cousin, whether it's a grandpa. Father, I just pray that you would give us your love for the lost, that you would stir that up. Lord, that we would follow your great commandment to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, that we would love other people and we would want for them to have the opportunity to love you. Lord, give us a heart to pray for people who are lost. Give us a heart, Lord, a compassion to pray as if their soul depended on it, because it might. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you for the cross. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we just pray for your anointing on our life. Lord, as we pray and as we talk to people, that we would just be sensitive to you and your leading. And Lord, when people are ready to hear the message of God's salvation and the gospel, Lord, Holy Spirit, just quicken that inside our hearts, that you would just say, right now. And Lord, we just commit to you that when you tell us, when you say, talk to this one, then Lord, We just say, yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, we just commit to follow you, that we would be your vessels, that we would be your mouthpiece. We just come to you, Jesus, and we love you. We love you, Lord. I do just pray that God would stir in our hearts a passion for missions, both locally and globally. You know, the whole vision for Daring Daughters is dare to dream. And, you know, this was a dream by Amy Carmichael. She dreamed about rescuing souls. She dreamed about reaching the lost and rescuing children. May we dare to dream And may we dare to dream not just for selfish purposes, but may we dare to dream for God's purposes and for eternal purposes. And may we dare to dream that people would come to know Jesus Christ. May we dare to dream, dare to cry. And that's to allow God's compassion to stir in our hearts, to care. Where, you know, maybe if we don't care very much, that we would say, God, help us to cry. Help us to cry and help us to care. That we would dare to dream, that we would dare to cry, and that we would dare to obey. And, you know, like Hudson Taylor said, that the Great Commission is not an option to consider. It is a command to obey. And it's not just given to men. It's not just given to missionaries and, you know, Bible people long time ago. But the Great Commission is given to all of us as followers of Jesus Christ, men and women, boys and girls, for us as daring daughters. And I just thank you so much for listening today. Some of what I read was from a book that my husband and I wrote called The Scarlet Cord, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, which is a concise call to world missions. This is Anne Dunnigan with Daring Daughters, and this is number 8 in Dare to Rejoice in Mission. May God bless you. Bye-bye.